All right, good to be in the house of the Lord. I got kind of looking at Peyton. He got a little bit upset on the way out, you know, and they carried him out of here crying. And I thought, as much as I've enjoyed this service and the expectation level I've got for the remainder of it, you try to take me out, I'm going to cry just like him. I'm going to kick and scream all the way out of here because, you know, I don't want to leave either. And but thankful that it gives our moms and some of them a break that they can hear the Word of God. And we do pray for our children. And I, if you've never heard me say this, I want to make this statement very plain. Children at New Salem Baptist Church are not a distraction or inconvenience. They're a blessing. Amen. Everybody keep that in mind. They're a blessing. And so, you know, we tolerate and we cater to our children some because we know that's the future of this church. I can look through this crowd and tell you, y'all ain't going to always be here. I can tell by looking, you know, and by the Word of God that you're not going to always be here. So we better start letting these children take part. I want to look at the Word of God a few minutes this morning. Got a baptizing coming up. Got Erica. She's sitting on ready. Are you ready, Erica? Wave your hand if you're ready. Amen. Erica's ready. We're going to have baptizing here just in a few minutes. But let's look to the Word of God just for a few minutes in the book of Joshua chapter 23. As I go through this today, I want you to think about, focus about family. You know, it's an important factor. You know, God set the family up. I hear a lot of talk about church and this and this, and as a pastor, that's a good thing. But I want us to understand that God set the family up first, and then about 4,000 years later, patterned the church after it. And so when we start talking about family, when we start talking about things that we're going to show and things that we're going to teach, what we're going to leave behind, I hear a lot of times talk about inheritances, and it's most of the time about land or properties or monies or vehicles or whatever it might be. Carnal things of this world is sometimes what we focus on about what we're going to leave our children. I'm going to be like a man told me, I don't care if I ain't got two nickels to rub together when I leave. I want to leave something behind in the fact that they know that I serve God. They knew that I was faithful to what He called me to do. I believe that's one of the most important things we can hand down to our children today is the love of God and showing them through our abilities and through our works that they could say, okay, they love God. So we get down to Joshua, and I'd love to read about Joshua. Boy, I'm telling you, they brought him in. He is a military leader. You didn't want to go against Joshua and his God. I'll just tell you, the enemy dreaded that. You know, when Joshua and his God showed up, the battle was pretty much over because God was going to fight for him. But as I began looking at the other side of Joshua, you know, I don't find where he ever had a great family. I never find where he accumulated great riches and wealth and material things. But I'm going to tell you, he was one of the wealthiest men that I've ever known from reading God's Word because he knew God and he obeyed him. Now, that'll make you rich. And then we talk about Joshua's family. His family was the children of God. God's chosen people, Israel, that was his family. He was ahead of this family. And when I start looking at it and thinking about how oftentimes we could relate that to the church today, you know, as I was standing here listening to these folks sing and they're talking about his blood has made us one, and I thought about what a privilege it is to be in the family of God, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And so when we get down to the baptizing today, I want you to know Erica's fixing to get a new family. Brand new. I'm talking about, look at all these brothers and sisters you're fixing to get. You know, in the family of God, coming into the church and the body of Christ. And so when we look at that and we look about what we're going to do and what would you do for your kids today? You know, I ask people this a lot of times. Just how far would you go to see that they had a good life? And a lot of people say, I work myself to death. I do this, I do that. And a lot of times all it amounts to is showing them and setting the right example for them about the way we serve God and the way we reverence Him as the God of our lives. And that's the most important thing we can give our children today. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1, And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. I like this fact that according to the Word of God, you know, and we have the relationship shown with God all through the years of Joshua and all the time, and then all of a sudden he finds that he's getting older. You know, that's a hard thing for a lot of us to admit, that we're getting older. But I hear it all the time. I just can't do quite what I used to. Most of them, tell the truth, can't do half what we used to. You know, if we want to get real about it. But when they started talking about age, Joshua had a desire of what he was going to leave behind. Now, he couldn't change what he had done in advance. And what he did, he followed the Lord all the way through his life. And when he came older, he had something to tell, and he had something to leave behind. And that was his evidence of faith in an almighty God. I'm telling you, Joshua trusted God. He'd go against these enemies, and they'd be 10 more times than his troops. But he didn't care. With the power of God, he'd go out, he'd defeat them. So when we look at this, and Joshua called for all of Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. So he makes a confession. He said, I'm old and stricken in age. But I began thinking about who he called. Who he called together. I want you to look at this. He called for all of Israel, for their elders, for the heads, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them. And so he began calling everybody around, and he said, I want to tell you about something. And I thought about what a testimony he must have had to them, because he had saw the battles, he had saw the wars, he had saw the trouble that they went through, and they came out successful, victorious in all situations. And he said, I want somebody to know about what God has done in my life. And I thought what a blessing that would be, that we'd take time to sit down and talk with our family, our friends, and say, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what he's done for me in my life. You know, we're a silent group this day and time. We just take for granted that God's going to continue to bless us in this and this and this. And I think it's time. I was watching a TV show yesterday. It was something about accidents and something, some film show. And, you know, it was about these people that just barely escaped from being killed or this or that. You don't need to show all this. And I began noticing every time, you know, something happened, the first words out of everybody's mouth was, oh, my God. Y'all ever noticed that? Oh, my God. And I kept watching that, and all of, oh, my God. You know, this has happened bad. This is wrong. And I thought, I'm about tired of seeing that. I don't believe those people even knew God. You know, they're using that as a byword. Oh, my God. And I thought, what a great thing it'd be if we as Christians that truly knew God would start crying out, oh, my God, let me tell you what he's done for me. And we'd change this and put it in a different aspect. I finally turned the show off. That bothers me some. It bothers me some. You know they got their right to say anything they want to, but it bothers me. I thought, you know, they're using this kind of as a byword. Oh, my God. You know, this has happened wrong, and that's happened wrong. I'd love to see it take place that when something happened right, we'd holler, oh, my God. You know, about the time I put Erica under and bring her back up, I'd love to hear somebody holler, oh, my God, I'm praising you, you know, and giving you thanks for what you've done. And so when Joshua began telling everybody and talking to them, he said, I want to tell you what God's done in my life. And I thought about the testimony that he handed down to these children of Israel. That was his children. Not physically, but spiritually, that's his children. I'm telling you what, he loved them enough to die for them. Wouldn't that make it a dad? And in verse 3, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Very simple words. He said, you saw this, you've been here, you were present, and he talks about all the battles, all the nations that had succumbed to Israel because God was on their side. And then down at the very point, he said, and he had fought for you. I want to tell you how privileged you are to be a child of God today and know that God's still in this battle fighting for you. You know, when he talked with Peter one time, and Peter was talking to the Lord Jesus, and he was saying this and this, and Jesus told him, he said, the devil hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, yet I prayed for you. And I thought about how precious thing it is today to know that God's in the battle with us. God's fighting for us, that he's trying to defend us from the things of the world and the evils that's happening all around us. I'm telling you, when you started over here to church this morning, you was under the protective hand of God to see that you got here, or some idiot would have run over you. Y'all ever think about that? You go out here on this highway, and you're going this way at supposedly 55. Supposedly 55. And here comes a car, supposedly 55 this way. And you know you're about 6 feet away from death. One little twerve, and it's over. And I thought about how many times and how many people I've met that God kept them on their side. That God kept me on my side. You know, both ways. And so when Joshua starts describing this to all the elders and all the judges and everybody that's somebody, he said, I want to tell you, God has fought for you. God has taken this on himself that he's going to fight for you. If you're in a battle today and in a struggle over something, I want to tell you, God's fighting for you. He's on your side. It goes farther in the verse 5, and the Lord, your God, he shall expel them before you and drive them out from your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And so he's telling more about the promise. Although they have overcome so many enemies, he said there's a few left. He said, but the Lord your God, he's going to expel them. In other words, God's going to be on their side, and they're going to possess this land. Now, I think about this a lot. They're going into a land that God gave them. They didn't buy it. They didn't really earn it, but God gave it to them. And I thought, isn't it a good thing to know that God can take care of our needs and our desires and our wants, that he's got the ability to handle all these things? And so I get excited to think about when he told Israel, he said, I'm going to take the enemy out of the way. I'm going to tell you, in this day and time, that ought to put us on shouting grounds in the churches today, to know that God's on our side and God's going to fight against us, with us, against this ungodliness of this nation. I'm going to tell you, our nation would rather nobody be here this morning. I'm going to tell you very plain, and to know that God's going to fight for us, God's going to be with us. Excites me. He gave a warning. In verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. He wants you straight, centered, and going forward. Don't turn to the left or to the right. I'm telling you, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep moving forward. In verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. It was evident, and they continued to say, don't change. Keep this going the same. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you the great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. Now, I've got evidence in the Word of God that this church, or the church, is going to stand until the Lord comes back. Praise God, because he's coming for the church. You keep that in mind. A lot of people the other day said, I'm afraid the church is going to die out. I'm not afraid the church is going to die out. According to the Word of God, he said he's going to find faith when he returns to earth. So that's the church, the faith. And so I'm going to tell you, whether this individual church will be here or not, I can't tell you, but the church, the saved in Christ, the baptized into his body. I'm telling you, they're going to be here in parts when the Lord Jesus himself returns. And so when we start thinking about this, he's given us the power. And he said he's going to drive them out from before us. And so this enemy that surrounds us, this enemy that wants to fight against the church today, they've got a hard battle to come, because my God is fighting for this church. Can you imagine the Almighty God? I'm telling you, he kept the doors open here today and gave us a possibility of coming in, worship and praising. In verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, it is he that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. One man shall chase 1,000. Now, a lot of people say, well, you pastor a small church. Yes, I do, and I'm proud of it. Praise the Lord. It ain't about numbers with me. It's about your welfare benefit to God and what I might improve in your life and what God can improve in your life. And so when they start talking to me about small churches, I said, yeah, but you ought to see the work we can accomplish. I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, it said one man could chase a thousand. Now, you count us down here this morning, there's several thousand people we could put on the run. You know it? The power of God demonstrated. Oh, I talk to people, and their thing is, how big's your church? I hear a lot of that. Most of the time, I'm not impressed by what they're saying, what they're doing. It's about the ministry. I'm glad you're here. But guess what? If you wasn't, I'm probably going to preach anyway. Verse 11, and I'm going to close this. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourself, that you love the Lord your God. Now, that's the major key and factor in support of the Lord and doing what He wants to do, is that you love Him. I'm telling you, I'm a lot more likely to do something for somebody I love than somebody I don't love. You think about that. A lot more likely to do something for somebody I love than somebody I don't love. And so this is the key with God, that we continue to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. That's what we talk about so oftentimes. Good to see everybody here. Erica, you start coming up toward the front, if you would. I'm going to bring her up to the front. Let her out, bring you back. Is it back here? Okay. Already got that taken care of. I want you to just stand right down in front just for a minute. I'm not quite through yet. I just want to stand up. You to stand up here, and you're going to be the beginning. I'm telling you, I come here with high hopes today. I hope there's going to other people going to come this way and join her. Say, well, I like the testimony she's given, that she's following the Lord, and it's about leadership of her and her boys and teaching them and bringing them up in the right way. And I appreciate families for doing that very much. And I tell you, and my thought was coming in this morning, I thought, well, you know, they might be more than that. And so I'm not going to limit this saying. I'm not going to limit God to the work that He could do here today. I'm going to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter, certain circumstances by statement. So if God's directed you to this church, it may be your day. I don't direct you. I'm not going to call you. God's going to send you, or we don't need you. Pretty plain, right? But that's the way it is in the house of the Lord. I believe that's the way it ought to be. So we're going to give anybody an opportunity. If you need to come pray, or if you want to come up and for baptism, or you want to come join the church for statement, whatever it might be, if this is where you're supposed to be, don't hold back. You might be hindering somebody else. So give you an opportunity. Just take just a few minutes. You just weigh it out in your heart what you need to do. That's what we need to do. You weigh it out in your heart what you need to do. I can't tell you.